Human Access Project has $25,000 we would like to contribute to the Audra McCall Beach restoration. That needs to be spent by the end of this year. So I will be communicating with Caitlin Lovell and BES folks just to make sure that there's some way we can get them money, but it has to be spent by this year.
Yikes, that's quite a tall order. In your experience, what ways have you seen effective for minimizing conflicts between swimmers, motorized boaters, and non-motorized boaters?
I think the biggest part of this is much like the conflicts that we see between cyclists, equestrians, hikers. It's about education. It's about creating a culture where we are all using a limited resource. And it's not foolproof.
Let me add, too, that honestly,
from this perspective, I view when we are, in a perfect world, we'll have that conversation before it happens. But when this conversation organically surfaces about how are we going to share the river, that's going to be significant progress on us activating the river.
And my last question is, do you have any experience with immigrant refugee communities, communities of color, people who might not have had access to swimming lessons? We all remember the two tragedies we had at Kelly Point Park last year, so it does underscore your point to do it where it's safe. But then we put up the notices in 15 different languages, and we're still not entirely sure that we're going to be able to communicate with people.
And I think, let me take that. So, again, what I would say about, unfortunately, I just want to put out to Parks and Recreation that Human Access Project is always going to be available to help consult in these challenging situations because we give a lot of thought to this. I wouldn't have necessarily recommended putting up signs that say, do not swim. There's a lot of psychology. I just consider signage all the time in terms of curbing public behavior. Fundamentally, humans do not like being told what to do. And ultimately, if you put up a sign that says, do not swim, and you see other people swimming, the sign will effectively do nothing. The strategy is to acknowledge that people will swim whether you like it or not, and rather than saying, do not do this, create amenities that draw people to a different area. So that's what I'd kind of say. But in terms of education, yeah. I mean, it's a fundamental thing that hopefully, considering that the Willamette River is our largest public open space, it would be a good idea to start developing programs to educate kids at a really young age.
So I was just asking from the consultant's basis, you've had some experience in other cities. What's worked? What has not worked?
Specifically on this topic, it really is about building the educational programming. And I think that's about a life around the water, and it's a life that I'm familiar with growing up on the coast here, as well as in our practice in Parks and Recreation. It's a regular interaction. It's a regular conversation. It's not going to be something that you interact with once that's really going to make that difference. I think that we need to look at swimming programs. We need to look at the opportunities that we have already connected through parks to understand that people are looking for those opportunities to swim. We know this, and finding the places to give that constant interaction of what is safe, where is safe, and how can we push that forward. I think that specific examples are going to come down to the particular communities, because culturally we're seeing very different responses from different cultural groups. You're not going to see a one-size-fits-all solution, but I do think that there are education programs that can be drawn from places, some of them that I mentioned. Seattle is dealing with a lot of the same immigrant populations that we see here, as is Pittsburgh, and I think that they're both doing a really good job of educating across the board.
So I have just one question, which is, in the report that we have, it has sort of case studies or interviews with folks in Lake Oswego, Vancouver, Bend, Boise, and Hood River, and so there are examples of other jurisdictions. If you were to look at just our peer cities across the country, what are cities that are ahead of us in providing public access to their rivers, or they're doing things that you think are interesting?
Boise is a great example, and is one that's profiled in this report as well, where they are already they're actively promoting the opportunities to swim and creating the safe environments to do so. I think that looking out, I would say that pretty much every city that has a river is engaging with it in more direct ways than I see in my life here in Portland, people in Portland doing. And I think that is a lot about the programming and the access points that exist there. And I It's a little bit, it was amazing to me to go to Pittsburgh and see a river that I would have just instinctively thought of as an industrial wasteland be so lively, be on a daily basis, and to see the level of activity both in and on top of the water and around the water's edge. And all of that was driven largely by a coalition of groups not unlike the Human Access Project, the City of Pittsburgh, and a lot of private property owners along the riverfront as it was redeveloping. And I think that your conversations with Zeidel and the folks that are actively looking at those riverfront properties right now on the west side are going to be another opportunity for that kind of advancement.
Okay, thank you.
Great. And colleagues, just a reality check. We have Tax Supervising Commission at 4 p.m., and we have 27 people signed up for public testimony, and I want to respect that, but we still have a number of panels left as well. So maybe I'll do this. Let's consider this a speed date. And so let's try and get everybody to get their say in, but if everybody could really condense, consolidate, find somebody you don't know who agrees with you and team up. Let's see if we can be as efficient as possible with this. So next up, and thank you,
thank
Willie,
you.
For
yeah,
your
thank you.
Continue. Oh, awesome! I could use this. Your continued
thank
enthusiasm
you.
And your leadership and your vision, time, sweat, blood, tears, all the rest. Thank you, Ryan. Excellent to know that somebody in this world found the most amazing job ever. That's great. Thank you. So next up, we have a panel from the boating community. And I think we've got Bernie, Kathy, and Connie. Is that correct? Great. Come on up. Thanks so much for being here. And again, if you could just state your name for the record. Appreciate it.
Hey, Bernie, you're starting, are you not?
I am.
Good afternoon.
Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Fish, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today and to share the story of the Portland Boathouse and the longstanding community of light watercraft users in this city. My name is Bernie Thurber. I have been the president of the Portland Boathouse since its inception in 2004. The Boathouse is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that provides facilities for each of our six organizational members, which are also each of them nonprofits. Briefly, they are the Rose City Rowing Club, which teaches competitive rowing to high school students from throughout the city, Station L Rowing Club, which teaches adults competitive and recreational rowing from throughout the city, Wasabi Paddling Club, which teaches recreational and competitive dragon boating and outrigger canoe racing, Portland State University Crew, the University of Portland Crew, and Willamette Riverkeeper, which engages in advocacy to support the health of the river. I'm aware that there are a number of supporters of the Boathouse here in the audience.
Are you sure?
I was going to ask them to stand, but I don't think that's necessary. Collectively, the Boathouse and our member organizations have over 1,000 individual active members and well over 100 years of experience in providing opportunities to Portlanders to access the Willamette River in all forms of human-powered craft: racing shells, dragon boats, canoes, kayaks, outrigger canoes, stand-up paddleboards, and to engage in advocacy to support and improve the health of the river. In a minute, you will hear from two representatives of those organizations who will share some of their experiences. On behalf of the Portland Boathouse, I'd like to thank the staff from BPS and all of the other city bureaus for studying opportunities to improve the East Bank Crescent and for producing the plan. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, and the council for supporting improved access to the river and for this opportunity to support the plan. We believe that both concepts in the plan have merit and support a balanced approach that draws on elements from each. We would welcome the opportunity to work with the city to achieve tailored access for both boaters and swimmers while still addressing the clear need for habitat restoration. The Boathouse, in conjunction with the Wind and Oar Boat School, is currently planning to raise and invest over $3 million on a new river center to be located on the OMSI campus just south of the East Bank Crescent. And I believe there is a two-page fact sheet that outlines our vision for that river center that has been just submitted to you. Such a river center would become a powerful magnet for all Portlanders with an interest in the river and light watercraft, and would enable us to increase programming and dramatically grow the number of river users and increase public awareness of issues related to the river's health. In addition, the River Center would be a unique partner with OMSI to expand its educational programs to include direct interactions with the river, further enhancing community stewardship of it. If successful, this investment would also provide significant leverage for whatever investments the city is able to make in the Crescent in the future. The willingness of the Boathouse and its member organizations and the Wind and Oar Boat School to remain on the East Bank Crescent will depend largely on the presence of a dedicated dock designed specifically for light watercraft use, as is the Holman Dock, which we currently use. However, the Holman Dock was built in 2004 as a temporary dock, and it's approaching the end of its useful life. We are extremely grateful that both concepts in the plan recognize that a new dock should be created to serve the light watercraft community, and that additional facilities are also necessary to support the increasing needs of swimmers. We hope that this plan marks the beginning of a new era in which expanded access for all Willamette River users will be maximized in the future. Thanks again for your time. I'm happy to answer any questions now or after my companions speak.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
You're very welcome.
Hi, Kathy Frederick. I am a member of Station Elroying Club and founder of The Row for the Cure.
Thank you.
I'm a native Portlander, born and bred here, and I'm pre-Title IX, which affected my rowing career. 30 years ago, I set foot for the first time in a racing shell and absolutely fell in love. It's like dancing on water in a chorus line. There's nothing like it. I took rowing lessons from Station L Rowing Club when it was tiny. We had the oldest functional wooden barge on the Willamette River, topped by a pole barn. Our boats were heavy, heavy wooden shells, eights and fours, and the oars were huge. My hands are small, so I had some challenges there, but I didn't want to give up. And we were located at that time temporarily under the Fremont Bridge, which is at the south edge of the active port of Portland. So during that time, during my career with Station L, I've learned to navigate. I've learned a lot about hydraulics. I've learned about our connection with the world through our active port. I've watched tugs and grain barges and ships come and go, shepherded crews. I learned to row. I learned to cox. I took a class and became certified as an instructor and was able to introduce more people to the delights of dawn on the river when it turns gold, when the sun comes up and you're just floating along there. And there's just nothing like that sweet cream row of dancing together in that line on that water. In 1993, I lost a friend, a very generous friend, to cancer. And with my rowing being my favorite sport, I wanted to do something to raise some funds to honor her memory. I looked around, and in Portland, the only organization that I saw dealing with women's cancers and working locally was the Oregon Southwest Washington affiliate of Susan G. Komen. So I went to them and said, you know, we'd like to do a little fundraiser, and our rowing club Station L would like to host it. And this was after, of course, I talked to the club first. And they said, sure. And it was back in the days when we were handshaking. I mean, we didn't have a big formula or format or anything like that. But that idea took hold. And Now, 24 years later, we are hosting our 24th annual Portland Row for the Cure.
And what was the name of your friend?
I'm sorry?
What was the name of your friend that you...
It was Bobby Cooper.
Thank you.
Thank you. I lost my place. Sorry.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. So over this period of time, over this course of 24 years, Portland Row for the Cure has raised over $450,000 to support the cause of breast cancer research, public education, and support for families and their and breast cancer patients.
Fantastic.
And a lot of the grant money that comes through Komen ends up up here at the medical school. The idea for Row for the Cure grew, and part of that came from people coming to participate from other parts of the country. We've had rowers from as far away as Alaska and Canada, Washington and California and Idaho, and occasionally we'll get somebody out from the East Coast who's on vacation out here and steps in to participate as well. But the idea grew and took hold, and in 2011 we finally got organized enough to start a national nonprofit. So we received our 501c3, and we are now the national headquarters for a Row for the Cure. And in partnership with U.S. Rowing, Row for the Cure has raised just shy of $3 million across the country.
Well done. Thank you.
So
it's good.
The rowing community has not previously done much in the way of community service like the runs do, you know. And I grew up in a family where track and field was my family background. And I hate running; it hurts. found the rowing, and it was a done deal. So when I wanted to do something and saw that there was an opportunity here, then rowing was a perfect match for it. So I wanted to thank the city for their work on the riverfront and the changes there. I really, really appreciated the new access ramp for our boats, because that was pretty ticklish getting down that ramp to the water. And we all love Portland, and we love our Willamette River, and we just appreciate so much what you've been doing. And thank you so much for letting me tell you my story.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well told. And thank you for all the great work you and your colleagues have been doing. It's very, very impressive what you've done. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Connie Flessers for Wasabi Paddling Club. We are a dragon boat and outrigger canoe club founded in 1993. We have approximately 350 active members, and we have great diversity of membership that we're very proud of. We host Team Kraken, our high school division team, hosting sometimes up to 50 athletes, youth athletes at a time. We host a Special Dragons, once again, just about 40 athletes from the special community, very proudly, by the way. We have paddlers, our Blind Start team, which includes paddlers that are visually impaired. We also have a cancer survivor team, and teams of pre-Title IX people like Kathy and I, as well as single-gender crews and mixed crews. We are a very proud member and founding member of the Portland Boathouse as well. Thank you for the opportunity to represent a community of paddling that not everybody is particularly aware of as you go across the country. But Portland is particularly gifted because we had a strong dragon boating community with the Kaohsiung Sister City Association. So for the size of our city, we have a lot of dragon boaters. Mm-hmm. Our dragon boaters from Wasabi Paddling Club and the clubs that have formed subsequently across the city have had the opportunity to compete across the world in international competitions and take the city proudly with them everywhere we go. I, like Kathy, the pre-Title IX girl who never had any sports in my life, have competed on every continent in the world except Antarctica, and I'm just waiting for a race. We really take seriously our stewardship of the river. We are a year-round paddling organization, as are the rowing clubs. So we are out there 360 probably days a year. There's five when the river doesn't let us get on. But otherwise, we are out there in the community. Our use is certainly higher in summer because that's our competitive season, so our numbers do go up there. But we take our stewardship very seriously, have worked on river cleanups and community activities as part of our 501(c), as all of the boathouse group has. We really appreciate the opportunity to have given our story to you today, and I stand ready. I did a condense, Mr. Wheeler, to answer any questions that I might about Wasabi.
Well, the mayor said speed dating, so I'm going to ask my question quickly. By the way, my older sister, Alexa, was a pre-Title IX student, and I remember in middle school, she and the other girls changed in the bathroom. And I think about all the opportunities she was denied because she didn't get equity in sports.
Exactly.
Here's my question. I've read your excellent materials, so we don't have to go into them in any great length. You're working with OMSI as part of the master plan for your new boathouse. That's great. You're concerned about maintaining a dock. The Holman dock has some complications. So the successor dock in a perfect world would be paid for by whom?
Well, that's to be determined. The Holman dock was paid for by PDC. We would certainly hope that the city would want to participate in the funding for a replacement dock.
So this would be a kind of a public-private partnership for that dock, and you like the location that's proposed in this plan?
The location is an excellent one for mass transit, for access, for a number of reasons. The existing dock is was built as a light watercraft dock, and we have an agreement with PDC whereby we manage it for all light watercraft users, not just those who are part of the Portland Boathouse.
It seems like from your materials we're on the clock, so when do we have to get this sorted out? On the dock side, not on your new home. When is the Holman dock no longer functional, or do you lose access to it?
Well, we'd have to ask Andy Jansky exactly when it would fall apart, but we believe that soon our current lease runs out at our current location in 2019.
Okay.
We believe shortly after that.
So there's some urgency about this. Thank you very much.
Very good. And I just want to thank you all for your testimony. And it's my belief, frankly, that if these plans are adopted, that actually helps lead to the siting of more facilities that could address some of the problems that you've identified today. And I've got to believe, just based on what I've seen in the numbers that you've reflected, the interest in these kinds of activities on the river is only going to continue to grow.
So.
And I see it as a huge opportunity, by the way, for this city.
Thank you. I agree completely.
Thank you.
If I may make one final point, I would be remiss if I didn't say that, believe it or not, our numbers here today would be greater but for the fact that the Rose City Rowing Club, varsity men's and women's crews, and the head coach are currently in Sarasota, Florida, preparing to race to represent Portland in the Junior Nasters Nationals Championship.
Excellent. Fantastic. We wish them all. All right, we have one more panel. Is that correct, Nathan? One more panel, and that is our panel of distinguished environmental leaders. And I had the list in front of me. Oh, it's in my other hand. Apparently, I have two of those now. We've got a Jim Rapp. I don't see Mike here today, or Bob Salinger. Mike, oh, there's Bob. You want to? Okay, cool. Good afternoon. Oh, okay. You have a plan. I'll let you just go with the plan. Good. Thank you.
Mayor and Council, Jim Rapp. I'm here representing the Urban Green Spaces Institute.
Thanks, Jim.
And I believe, Mayor, that you've already received a letter from Mike Houck, our executive director.
Yes.
And just to demonstrate that I'm not just repeating what Mike told me to say, I'm a former port director. I was an Oregon city manager who originated the Tualatin River National Wildlife Refuge.
Thank you.
And I was 5 years as a salmon recovery executive director. And last but not least, 4 terms as president of Audubon. So, but you have Mike's letter. Out of respect for those, you said, Mayor, the 27 people who are now going to try to fit their testimony into 10 minutes,
They'll do it. I've seen them do it.
I'm going to just really quickly summarize Mr. Houck's letter and
Thank
leave
you.
It at that. The Green Spaces Institute is in support of the East Bank Crescent Riverfront Plan, strongly supportive. We do note that the swimming options, that the particular site on the east side is ranked fourth out of fifth, and we feel that for these reasons, it makes more sense to do more emphasis, basically concept number one in the city's plan, on that site and look to swimming opportunities elsewhere, the more higher rated ones. Mike had a lot more to say, as you know, and at least I assume you know. And I will just leave it at that. We urge you to adopt, to accept both the Crescent Riverfront Plan and the swimming study as presented. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Thank you. My name is Travis Williams. I'm Executive Director of Willamette Riverkeeper. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and councilors, for this opportunity to talk a little bit about river habitat and access today. I'm in a little bit of a unique role in that I'm on the Portland Boathouse Board as a forming member of that organization, Willamette Riverkeeper. But of course, first and foremost, we work on water quality and habitat. A big principle of what we're about is getting people to the river to see it and experience it, whether that's in an urban area like Portland or far upstream. When I look at and when we evaluated the draft concept plan, we were really drawn to the balance of concept number one, which does a good job of providing access at that particular area, but also provides more robust habitat improvement over time. I think when you look at the constrained area as it goes through the central city, that one really jumps out because of the ability to lay the bank back to create more wildlife habitat, both shallow water habitat and riparian habitat. And then on top of that, you've got a unique opportunity to really weave people into that picture in terms of educating them, providing opportunities for them to see what does this whole habitat restoration thing really mean. And that would be Exhibit A in the core of the city. I think access for rowing, canoeing, kayaking, swimming is exceedingly important, and frankly, we have not capitalized, if you will, on what Portland and the Willamette River in particular really offers. It's always been my dream that we would have some kind of a stair step from the Tom McCall Waterfront Park through the seawall to get people down to the water. A series of low stairs coming up is just one of many parks amenities to allow that access for people, for them to see and touch the river. So I guess I would leave it at that and with the idea of brevity. But again, concept number one really jumps out. It does provide a balance. And I would also say, as we move forward as the Portland Boathouse, creating this new river center, I look forward to more opportunity for dialogue with you and the rest of the city.
Thanks, Travis. Appreciate it very much. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Galick. I'm a longtime Greenway advocate. You've seen me here before. As you know, I've worked very hard to get the trail completed on both sides of the river. And of key importance to the Greenway is the reestablishment of a healthy riverine environment that is good not just for people, but supportive of wildlife and fish. I was a member of the Zidell Greenway Committee, as you've heard, it has just wrapped up their concept plan, and we approved it. And what's interesting is the consensus of both the committee and public outreach is for habitat to be a priority along the new stretch of the Greenway. The process found that people want more than just access to the river. They want a healthy river ecosystem. As others will point out, very few opportunities remain along the river for shallow water habitat. The East Bank Crescent is one of these. Enhancing and restoring habitat should be and needs to be the primary focus. Fish don't have a lot of other options. They can't jump off of docks, and they can't use floats. They have to have shallow water habitat, and we need to help them and enhance that. I strongly support concept number one. It has more emphasis on habitat, and it will also, because it's next to OMSI, be a wonderful educational opportunity and a showcase for showing what we can do to restore the river while still allowing for active recreation. So let's make this happen, and please fund it appropriately. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Thanks, Bob, for your patience.
Good afternoon. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the conservation director for the Portland Audubon Society. First off, I want to express appreciation to the city and city staff for the work they've done on this. They've done a very good job. I'm here today to support option number one. We, as you've already heard, that is the one that has more habitat in it. We think it does a good job of balancing both access and habitat. And we think it's really important when we introduce people to the river in these sites to introduce them to a place that represents a healthy river. Not a denuded river, and that's what we have for the most part. So when we provide this access, let's do it in a way that inspires people and teaches them what it means to have a healthy river and that gets them involved in the stewardship of that site. I think both can be done. I think option one is the better balance of the two options before you. I think it's important to remember that every salmon that uses the Willamette River system has to pass through downtown Portland. And study after study shows that one of the limiting factors for salmon recovery in the Willamette River system is downtown Portland. We have very, very little habitat once you get to the central and north reaches of Portland. The river's been hardened, steepened, dredged, and there's virtually no shallow water habitat, which is what young salmon need when they go to the ocean. It's an oversimplification, but really about every quarter mile, a juvenile salmon needs to get off the main channel into shallow water habitat, rest, forage, and get away from predators. Right now they go miles without having that. I've heard some people suggest that, we can separate the beach access and the habitat. The fact is there are very, very few sites left that are available for either right now. In the Central City Plan, which will be coming before you in the fall, you'll see that we were only able to identify six or seven sites in the entire Central Reach that are restorable. So we're going to have to do both and find a way to balance them, but find a way to restore. So, again, option one. We also encourage the city to start looking at the North Reach again. The Central Reach Plan is coming before you in the fall. North Reach was suspended pending the end of the comprehensive plan and the economic opportunities analysis. We have to replicate this. Not only do we have to do it in the East Bank Crescent, but we need to do it up and down the river. There are some sites in the Central Reach. There are more in the North Reach. But this is exciting to see us getting started. And if we're serious about salmon, we talk a lot about salmon in this city. This is really where the rubber hits the road, is on these restoration sites on the main stem. So thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony. All right, so we're down to public testimony. Commissioner Fritz, did you have a comment? We're down to public testimony, and here's how we can economize. We'll just say a minute. I won't be draconian about it. But if you team up with other people who are already on the list, we'll give you extra time. How's that? Go ahead. We'll call three names, and then Carla also call the next three, just so you know who's on deck.
First three, please come on up, are Susan West, Dennis Shore, and Joshua Ochis, and they'll be followed by Casper Murr, Keith Jones, and Fran Sumita Park.
Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Susan West from Friends of River Place, and we're a Spirit of Portland award-winning group. We spent the last 2 years and hundreds of hours getting ready for what's happening now. We are so thrilled and supportive that we can see the vision of the future. We have been dreaming about an open, free access to the Willamette River all this time. I put out some pictures of Fermoy, Ireland, and what they did along their river. We would like to see Portland's waterfront as a destination, and this was what the City Council had in mind when they planned River Place and pushed through the Big Pipe Project. The beach and swim access will make it more of a destination. We envision the Willamette River to be as widely known as the Danube River. Somebody needs to write a waltz. And really, how can we have a river without kids swimming, fun, and lemonade? So we think that every decision we make is not about what we do, but who we are. We are a city that loves our river, loves our parks, love nature. We're supportive and will help in any way as we open up the river access.
Thank you, and please let your group know we really appreciate it. Commissioner Fritz.
And this visual aid is really helpful, showing the multiple purposes. Taken rain equals taken light, so making sure that people don't just walk off with them, and then also having a sticker on it for talk to us if things seem too much.
Isn't that great?
So I love the multifaceted.
Yeah, thank you. That's very helpful. Willie's already got that going.
Thank you. Commissioner Fish, did you have a comment? Great. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Dennis Schur. I'm fortunate to live not far from here where I can get on the river whenever I choose. I look across the river and see people using every patch of shoreline to be in or near our river. On nearly every sunny day, every shoreline where people have access fills up with sunbathers and swimmers, floaters, and paddlers of all kinds. And if it floats, you'll see it on this river.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Joshua Ochis, and I'm representing Wasabi Paddling Club. And I have been in multiple accidents, and the paddling exercise has helped me be who I am right now. And having access to the club for everybody and the river is very important.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate your being here. Next three, please.
Are Casper Muir, Keith Jones, and Fran Sumita Polk. And they'll be followed by Demetrius Harrison, Laura Freeman, and Bill Burgle.
Good afternoon.
I'll give a minute of mine to Casper. He's the president.
Thank you. You're very kind. Thank you. I'm Casper Moorer. I'm the president of Wasabi Paddling Club.
Thank you.
Since January of this year. So I represent about 350 or so active paddlers on that club. And I got to say, a lot of what I was going to say has already been shared. And so I want to add, I think, two things. One of them is dragon boating is one of the fastest growing sports in the world today. And it's virtually done everywhere. And so people come here to Portland, friends of our paddlers, that say, we want to get on the water with you because we hear you have such a great reputation here in Portland for that. The second thing is that the special teams that we have, aside from the competitive paddlers, we're very, very proud of that, the ability to be able to do that. And the big reason why we are able to do that is our location at the Portland Boathouse. Because one of the things that's really important for people like Josh, who was just speaking here, and the visually impaired paddlers and the high school paddlers is public transportation to get there so they can actually participate. And with that, I would just like to say thank you to all of you for working on all of what we heard today. We're very much in support of the Crescent Park plan.
Thanks, Casper. We appreciate you and your group being here today. Thank you. And you were very polite, so why don't you say a few words?
Thank you. Thank you so much for the City Council supporting this issue. And it's one that's really, really needed. Okay, my name is Fran Polk, and I have been a member. I have been part of Wasabi for the last 15 years since they transferred over to the east side. And I've also been a member of SOAR, the breast cancer team. And I am now a member of the GM, which is the Grandmasters team. And I believe I'm the eldest of the Wasabi group right now. You know, so anyway, I'm kind of proud of that because I've been paddling for so long. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And, but our dock is so worn out that part of it is ready to sink. And half the time when the water is high, it's over the actual wooden part that's left. The rest of it has been restored, but we really need a new dock.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much for
the support.
Thank you for
being here. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Keith Jones. I'm the chair of Louisville Lloyd, which represents the residents of the Lloyd neighborhood. The Lloyd neighborhood is primarily known as a business district, I think, to most people, with three primary destinations, the Moda, the Convention Center, and the Lloyd Center Mall. But in recent years, we're seeing a resurgence of residents returning to the area, and it's growing rapidly. Haslow and 8th alone has doubled the population there. And there are at least three more developments in the works. Since moving to Lloyd, I find that I use my car like a lot less, maybe once every 3 months. And within the Lloyd, I have easy access to the streetcar, all of the MAX lines, bike infrastructure, and walkable locations. However, what I don't have easy access to is the water. The Willamette River is a mere blocks from where I live, but I don't feel connected to it. I can get there easily, and I can only really view it from the sidewalk. A resident of my committee recently brought the Duckworth docks to my attention and asked me to look into opening it back up. He wanted a place to swim, and my other residents loved the idea. So I understand that there's an encumbrance on it, and we fully support the plan put forth by Willie. I'd like to ask for your help to restore that the access to us. So thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
The next three are Demetrius Harrison, Laura Freeman, and Bill Burgle. And they'll be followed by Dan Rolfe, Carrie Morris, and Daniel Ellis.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can we go to leave? Maybe. You can go ahead and start, and we'll see if he's left. Okay, so you can call somebody else up.
Go ahead with Dan Rolfe.
There's Dan. All right, you can go ahead and start.
My name is Demetrius Harrison. I am a resident of Northeast Portland. My mother was born and raised here in Portland. As a little girl, we used to come here and drive over these bridges. I used to think this river was the most beautiful thing in the city, coming from Los Angeles, California. Very familiar with the water. I want to read something that someone wrote. This is a man by the name of Deshaun Crawford, who lost his life at Kelly Point Park. It says, "Life is something that I think about too much. I try harder and harder to see where it takes me. It took him to his death at Kelly Point Park. We need public access into the rivers." I'm also a board member of HAP Human Access Project.
Excellent. Thank you. Well said. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Laura Freeman. I am the club secretary for Wasabi Paddling Club. I paddle on the Dragon Boat Team SOAR, which is stands for Cancer Survivors and Supporters on a River. I grew up in Portland. My family were members of the Willamette Sailing Club, so I spent a lot of my childhood in that water back in the 70s and the 80s. I've seen our river go through major transformations. It's cleaner now than it's been in decades. If you paddle with us, you get to see the deer on the Ross Island. You get to see the bald eagles in the lagoon and the rookery of the blue heron. This is the river that we see. You know, most people don't get to see that. They just drive over on a bridge, look down. They go to a lookout point, look down. But this dock space, this east side dock, is one of the few touch points where people can actually access the river. There's not a lot of that around. So for that reason, I fully support the plan. Obviously, the adoption of the Crescent Plan is beneficial to Wasabi Paddling Club, the Portland Boathouse, and the whole community. But this little strip of the Willamette is just such a unique spot that it would be sad if people couldn't get to it. The new vision of the boathouse shows lots of community access, hopefully some river education and a community space. All those things are important to this community. Without that ability to get to the river, without that space, our whole future at the boathouse trajectory completely changes. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your time and invite you to come out with us. If you ever want a life jacket and a paddle, we'll take you out and give you a chance to see what we see.
Sounds excellent. I appreciate that opportunity. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Commissioner Fritz. My name is Dan Rolfe. I'm here today wearing three different hats. My first hat is as an environmental attorney. I'm the co-founder of Earthrise Law Center, which is the environmental law clinic at Lewis and Clark. My other co-founder was instrumental in filing the litigation that ultimately led to the big pipe and cleaning up the Willamette River. I've been involved for over 25 years in efforts to restore salmon and steelhead in the Columbia and Willamette Rivers. Wearing that first hat, as you know, the city has obligations under the Endangered Species Act to avoid jeopardy to listed salmonids and to minimize their incidental take. In my view, concept one in the East Bank plan is an excellent and necessary step in the city's compliance with its legal obligations to protect salmon and steelhead. I also wear the hat, or actually the uniform, of the Wasabi Paddling Club, and I'm on the board of the Portland Boathouse. You've heard about both of those organizations and how they are instrumental in connecting hundreds of paddlers and rowers from a diverse and growing array of people and citizens of Portland to the river. And I encourage adoption of this plan and provision of a dock to enable those people to continue to be ambassadors to the river and continue to experience and enjoy the river and its amenities. Finally, as a longtime member of the Natural Resources faculty at Lewis and Clark Law School, I'm an environmental educator. And wearing that hat, I would really appreciate the city's support as we go forward with efforts to try to construct a new river center, which in addition to providing a home for the Portland Boathouse, which is soon to lose its lease in a couple of years, will also provide educational opportunities, interpretive opportunities for everyone in the city.
Thank you.
To learn more about the river.
Commissioner Fish.
Just wanted to observe that the newest member of my team, who's focused on the river, Superfund, and other things, I think is a graduate of your program, Amira Streeter, who has her law degree from Lewis and Clark with in environmental law.
So yeah, of course. I know Amira. So excited that's to have terrific. Her.
Thank you, sir.
Great.
Thank you both. We appreciate it. Next three, please.
Are Carrie Morris, Daniel Ellis, and Leslie Walker. And they'll be followed by Jean Quincy, Cassandra Schumer, and Rick Gieb.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for giving me a moment, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Kerry Morris. I am a board member at Wasabi Paddling Club. I've been a member of that club since 2005, so for the past 12 to 13 years. And today I just testify from a person that's on the river multiple, really 5 to 6 days out of the week in some capacity with paddling, and just kind of express my real love affair with the river and what it really means to me. In addition to paddling dragon boats and what I've done that for the past 12 years, I've recently done outrigger canoeing. And one big issue that has really been recent and as more people come to the river is safely being able to get yourself and a craft to the river and be able to get on the river. I own an outrigger canoe that's 20 feet long. I have to carry it down the dock by myself as one person and try to maneuver between all sorts of people that may be on that dock and around the area, and that becomes extremely tricky during this time of year. And I'm just here to give my support for Concept 1 and of the East Bank Crescent plan.
So, thank you. Appreciate mm-hmm. it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Daniel Ellis. I'm a coach for the Rose City Rowing Club. This past year, we had nearly 200 athletes from 36 different area schools come through our program. And for the athletes and parents and coaches, races and results are the very kind of tangible goal. They're easy to see and plan for. But as coaches and parents in the room will tell you, along their journey, we see our athletes develop the intangibles, confidence, courage. They become leaders. They become compassionate teammates, all through the vehicle of our program. And rowing requires a lot of things. It requires equipment, coaches, commitment, time, energy, but chief of which is access. We can't get to the river, we can't row. And so, you know, whatever the future holds for Crescent Park and its development, we just ask that you consider access for light watercraft and you know, programs such as our own. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Leslie Walker, also a coach at Rose City. So I'm mostly here to emphasize what Daniel said, but also wanted to say a little bit more about high school rowing as a part of Portland's Willamette River connection landscape. High school rowing is a unique way for kids to get opportunities into college. It's one of the fastest growing sports in terms of amount of money and amount of scholarships that go to high school athletes compared to other high school sports. And with the scholarship programs that Rose City has for low-income kids and the outreach that we're doing into Portland public schools, it's actually a really good way for Portland to get kids who are of color or low-income or who wouldn't otherwise have access to the river onto the river. And as a coach, I can say that it's really amazing to see kids go from square one, which is like kind of afraid to touch the water because they think it's toxic, to being really proud of our river and our bridges and our like whole landscape that we have in downtown. So I'm mostly here to say thank you for keeping us in mind when you're considering all the options and helping us to continue to spread rowing to as many different populations as we can.
Excellent. Thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
The next three.
Jean Quincy, Cassandra Schumann, and Rick Gieb. And they'll be followed by Owen O'Brien Powers, Denise Shirk-Krankowski, and Malka Marin-Krankowski.
Very good. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, ma'am. My name is Richard Gieb, and I want to respond to Commissioner Fish's question about other jurisdictions or cities that are having success. Coincidentally, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and there was just a newspaper article, a full one-and-a-half-page article in the Cleveland Plain Dealer just published 2 weeks ago about an abandoned warehouse that was turned into a state-of-the-art rowing facility. I'm a former rower, and my son is at the National Youth Championships in Sarasota. I'll be leaving tomorrow morning for that.
Excellent.
And so what I want to say and encourage you, and not to criticize my hometown, but just a minute, sorry. I have a picture I want to show you. Cleveland is the home of the Cuyahoga River, the original burning river, which is actually part of what started the EPA, the same EPA that's responsible for helping us clean up the Willamette. And so the Cuyahoga River is the crooked river, yet in Cleveland they are celebrating the opening of a building called the Foundry, which is going to become the home of the Youth Rowing Association in Cleveland. And so this year their goal is to have, well, they're not this particular year, but their goal is to bring 10,000 youths in Cleveland down to the river to learn to do all kinds. It's not just rowing, it's light watercraft, it's paddleboarding, it's kayaking. And so although I love my hometown, when you look at the river, it's the crooked river. My phone's not going to work now, of course, but it's the crooked river. I don't want to criticize my hometown, but it's not a good piece of water compared to the Willamette. And so I'm here today to support the inclusion of the Portland Boathouse in the final plan so that we can have light watercraft access, because I don't think we can predict how popular it will become. And my final comment is that my son actually tried a lot of different sports, and he didn't do well at them. I know that one of the other parents submitted some testimony to you saying that her son, too, who's on this championship team that's down in Florida, also tried many sports and didn't do well. But rowing lifts the spirit, and it is a sport that anyone can do, as Ms. Walker just said, one of the coaches, that anybody can get in a boat, and it will lift their spirit. And we cannot predict how popular the Portland Boathouse will be in 5 or 10 years. And I think 10,000 is a conservative number for a great city like Portland.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Mayor and Commissioners, Jean Quincy, member of Wasabi Paddling Club. I also am a private boat owner over at River Place, and a former member of the Oregon State Marine Board. It's apparent today from everybody talking that we don't really need to activate the waterfront. It's already quite active. The plan is great. We can't wait. It will provide better and safer access. But in the meantime, we need some law enforcement down there. There are some really unsafe and unsavory behaviors and activities taking place. You know, we've seen even plantings that have been put in previously that have been camped on and destroyed. You know, we've got inebriated individuals jumping off the top of fire docks and so forth. So including in the plan needs to be a way to not only give them safe access, but to keep them safe from their own behaviors and for everybody else to enjoy that area. So thanks again for the plan. Looking forward to it. But in the meantime, we need to keep it safe for those of us that are there.
Excellent. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you.
I am representing Station Isle Rowing Club, and I've also coached with Leslie and Daniel, who are up here under them for Row City. But mostly I just want to present to you from our archives an article from 2008 touting the magic that our club brings to participants throughout the city. As Leslie stated, different representatives from all neighborhoods come together. We have articles dating back to the 70s, also touting the community that our club creates. So thank you so much for, again, you've been thanked many times. But we appreciate you considering the rowing community when you consider the plan.
Absolutely.
Could
thank you.
Just tell us your name, please.
I'm Cassandra Schumann.
Thank you.
Yeah.
She just goes by Coach.
Next three thank are you. Owen O'Brien Powers, Denise Shirk Krankowski, and Malka Marin Krankowski. And they'll be followed by Juliet Hotchman, Joaquin Bonding, and Amy Johnson.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Owen O'Brien Powers, and I row at Row City Rowing Club. I would just like to briefly articulate three reasons that I think demonstrate the importance of including the Portland Boathouse and a light water launching point in the plan for Crescent Park. Number one is at Row City Rowing Club and the clubs that operate out of the Portland Boathouse, I see a tremendous amount of fortitude and work ethic fostered within the kids that come in and my teammates and within myself. Secondly, I think the clubs at the Portland Boathouse and the dock in general fosters a certain amount of community, because just at Row City, people from different high schools come and interact with each other, and I think that cultivates a certain amount of community in the Portland area. And finally, I think including the Portland Boathouse and a whitewater launching point in the plan promotes a certain amount of health and commitment to the health of the citizens of the city. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for being here.
Good afternoon. My name is Malka Kranowski. I'm 10 years old, and I'm a fourth grader at Hope Chinese Charter School. Summer is my favorite season because the river is finally warm enough for swimming. I began learning to swim when I was 7 months old at Children of the Sea Swimming School. My swim teachers taught me how to hold my breath, how to float on my back to rest, and how to climb up out of the water. Later on, I learned different kinds of swimming strokes. When I was about 2 years old, I started swimming in the river and going in the canoe with my mom and grandpa. They always made sure I wore my life jacket in the canoe and when I went swimming in the river. Because my parents and grandpa encouraged me to swim and play in the river as a baby, I've grown to love the Willamette River. In summer, when it's really hot, I go down to the river with my parents to swim and cool off. When my friends are over on days such as those, we all like to hang out on our dock and we usually swim. There's an event each summer at Tom McCall Park downtown called the Big Float, hosted by Human Access Project. I've gone every year that I can remember, and I've always had fun inner tubing, swimming, or canoeing in the river. On Independence Day, I go over to my grandpa's house where we celebrate and watch fireworks. We always invite friends and go swimming in the Willamette River. Every year, I have lots of fun experiences at the Willamette River. I go swimming, inner tubing, and I canoe and ride in motorboats. Because of my enthusiasm, I have encouraged many of my friends to swim in the Willamette River, many of them for the first time. I think the river is clean and should stay clean for the benefit of Portland and the city's wildlife. If we can keep the river clean, we will encourage more people to come to the river and swim and help us keep the beaches and water healthy.
Excellent. Good testimony. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Denise Shirka. I'm a color consultant and a social media volunteer for Human Access Project. My main gig as a mom to my 10-year-old daughter, Malka, and my 4-year-old son, Solomon. I enjoy canoeing, and I try to get on the water as often as I can manage. As a water lover, I enrolled my kids in swimming lessons as babies, and I just always felt the earlier the better. I wanted them to learn to enjoy and find comfort in the water as much as I do. My dad, Dennis, who spoke earlier, was very into canoeing when I was young, and my mom was adamant I learned to swim and be safe in our various trips. Through the years, Dad became an expert in water safety for the Red Cross in Southern California. And as a side benefit of that, I spent countless weekends observing water workshops on lakes and rivers. Dad instilled in me a respect for moving water. It's deeply fortunate that I've had the early experiences I did in the outdoors, and doubly so as my young family can share the beauty of Portland. The kids adore going down to the river and playing. Malka and Solomon know what my rules are. If we're near water, be it lakes or rivers, they must have their life jackets on. I want that those rules to be instinctual, not only for my kids, but also for their friends who join us. Water safety rules allow us to have a really fun day on the river or at the beach. A personal dream of mine is for all of Oregon's elementary age children to have the opportunity to learn about their local waterways. We need to think about water safety as a valuable subject in our schools. It's a vitally important life skill. The value of always wearing your life jacket and to not ever feel ashamed to wear one. It's the really cool